5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It is the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And I thought we were going to break down, a win for the Broncos, for sure, and a crazy weekend in college football. But we get the news about an hour and a half ago, about the Denver Broncos trading away Von Miller to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for 2 second-day draft picks, a second and a third pick, third-round pick. We're going to talk about all that. And joining us now, the man, the myth, the legend, radio vet himself, D-Mac, on the First Advantage Hotline. My friend, thank you so much. It's always an honor when our paths cross or I can get you on the air with us.
Brady, it's my pleasure. It's great to be on with you. What a day with Von Miller.
It's a crazy day. I saw your tweet last week after Von talked to the media, maybe on Thursday, talking about maybe not wanting to, you know, I think the question was, hey, do you see yourself on a rebuilding team? Do you want to be there? You tweeted out and said that felt like goodbye. Well, apparently it was.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been around the Broncos for many years, lucky to be on that beat. And when you find athletes near the trade deadline, talk reflectively, meaning a bigger picture than, you know, just the upcoming game. It's a sign. It's a sign they're at least thinking about it. It's not a guarantee, but it's something that's in the wind. And although there are reports that Von was surprised by this, I doubt it, Brady. I highly doubt it, actually. I think they knew that there would be interest. I just didn't think they would pull the trigger, considering the Broncos actually won that game. I thought it was going to be dependent on the Broncos losing the game, but I think it's pretty clear now when you look back to Von's press conference last week, as he was reflecting on things, saying things like, you know, I've won before and these guys haven't. I don't care how I perform. I'm going to voice my opinion no matter what. It was pretty clear now that you look back on it, things weren't all right, and Von was anticipating something could be done, and now something has been done. And, Brady, I think it's a good deal. I think it's sad, but I think it's a good deal.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, D-Mac. Second and third round pick? I mean, I didn't even think that the Broncos would be able to get that much, considering where Von is at this stage in his career. Yeah, the first three games, those were great. But we've just kind of seen it over the years. Injury last year. So I was kind of pleasantly surprised. But you're right. It is, you know, the fan side in all of us. It's a bummer because, you know, the Broncos have three Super Bowls. One of those is really, you know, due in part to a lot of great play from Von Miller that season. And so, fan-wise, it's a tough day, but if you just want to look at it from the business side of it and going forward, it actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it probably signals the Broncos will be hunting for other deals here in the next 24 hours, as they should be. And why this is a significant step is it is a signal they are in rebuild mode and that we shouldn't take that win over the Washington football team for anything too dramatic. So I think it puts a lot of players on the table, Brady, whoever is unlikely to be back here next year for a contending team, whether that's Kareem Jackson, obviously Kyle Fuller they'd love to get rid of. That's beyond obvious. But even a guy like Tim Patrick or Bryce Callahan, who may now be hurt, you know, you just got to and here's a crazy one. Here's the craziest one. What about Teddy Bridgewater back to the Saints in light of the news that Jameis Winston has a ACL? Because, I mean, seriously, is Teddy Bridgewater going to be the quarterback here next year? And anybody who's not going to be on the roster next year should be talked about here in the next 24 hours. Everybody. So I think it signals something else too, Brady. I think the coaches are safe. I think they survived that. I think if they lost the game yesterday, who knows? But I think they're safe. And the eyes are on the future. And the future likely doesn't include Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. That likely will be changed as well, but not right away.
Well, and D-Mac, you're seeing, Derrick Henry news with Tennessee, Melvin Gordon. I mean, maybe that's a name that makes sense, too. The Teddy Bridgewater thing is interesting as well because, and I know maybe I'm in the minority now, but I feel like I still want to see I still want to really officially close the book on Drew Lock, and maybe this is the time to do it, because I haven't done it yet. I have it closed, but my hand is in the middle of a page, and I want to be able to close it officially. And I dare I say this, I don't know that we've fully seen it, and maybe we have, but that would make sense.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because it's clear what the coaches think. However, they can be overruled by George Payton. I mean, it's like a scene from Moneyball. Like, you know, you can't play that guy at first base. Why we traded him? I mean, if George Payton decides, and today Vic Fangio said he doesn't have anything to do with the trade deadline, which is remarkable a coach would even admit that, but I believe it. And, you know, sure, Payton could do that. He could deal Bridgewater. He's not the future. He could force them to play Drew Lock just to see what's up. Don't forget, Drew has another year left on his contract, by the way. So, I mean, you know, you've got him, and why not see what else you have? I really don't know what the point is playing Teddy Bridgewater anymore. I mean, what else do you need to know? And I think that's actually a great move. I laugh because I know the coaches don't want to go to Drew Lock. That would have to be forced upon them.
Yeah, I just think that one is so interesting to me because, yes, Teddy's a nice leader. He's had his moments for sure, but you just said it. We kind of know. We know where we are with Teddy, and I think, you know, 4-4 right now, it doesn't feel like 4-4. Why does it feel like 2-6? But it is 4-4. You got Dallas coming up, and if Dak's there, but who knows? You got this Cooper Rush guy. I mean, maybe it doesn't matter. So you're looking forward here, and you're saying, all right, where are the wins? Where are the realistic chances of you being someone the rest of the year? So I'm with you. I feel like more moves probably need to be in store, and you start throwing out guys just to if anything, close the book on them, find out who they truly are, and be done.
Yeah, I mean, you've got replacements at every position, whether you think they're of the highest value or not. It's not like you can't. Javonte Williams is the future at running back, not Melvin Gordon. They have guys like Ojemudia, Easton Bassey, coming back in terms of depth at cornerback. They've got Caden Stearns at safety. You know, they've done a good job stockpiling guys for the future. So anybody on an expiring contract, Brady, is, you know, it's fair game. That being said, I can't blame Broncos fans for being sad today that Von Miller's no longer part of the team. I mean, he's the greatest defensive player ever. He's a slam dunk Hall of Famer, perhaps a first ballot Hall of Famer, a Ring of Famer. I mean, Super Bowl MVP. You know, we absolutely should take some time this afternoon to think about how great Von was in a, you know, up and down period for the Broncos. Half of the time they were great, half the time they were terrible. But at the end of the day, you win a Super Bowl MVP, you're one of the all-timers, no doubt about it.
Where does he rank in your mind, D-Mac? Like you said, you've been covering this Broncos organization so closely for so many years. He didn't beat out John Elway, obviously. But is he two? Is he top five? Is he top 10? Where would you put him on that list?
To me, the greatest Broncos of all time are John Elway, Peyton Manning, and I guess Von Miller. I mean, he's the best defensive player of all time. I don't want to short shrift the Randy Bradishars of the world, that sort of thing, but Von won a Super Bowl MVP. And Peyton is Peyton, and John Elway was, you know, beyond legendary. So I'd actually stick him at number three behind Peyton and John Elway.
No, it makes sense to me. Hey, if the name of the game is to win Super Bowls and the Broncos have won three, you look at one of those and say, wow, one guy was really responsible for that. Yeah, it was a team effort and all that stuff, but Von made some miraculous plays in that playoff stretch. So, yeah, I wouldn't argue with you if you're going to put him in the top three side of things. D-Mac, about the game yesterday, was that not one of the most bizarre ways to close out a game? I'm thinking, man, if anything, worst-case scenario there is you run it three times, and I know that's a bad word to Pat Shurmur, run it three times in a row, but you run it three times, you make them use their timeouts, you punt it deep, and you hope they have 20, 25 seconds left on the clock. But a fumble, which you can't blame the coaches for, you have an incomplete pass, which you can blame the coaches for, and then another fumble that's recovered. So that was had to be one of the weirdest ways to end a game. I mean, Broncos fans were ready to throw up at any moment.
Oh, it was awful. You know, technically, and Coach Fangio was quick to point it out, technically the first one wasn't a fumble. He was ruled down.
Ah, okay.
It wasn't, but still,
Yes,
no,
yes.
I get it. It wasn't a kneel down, right? I don't have a problem with rolling out to throw the football necessarily if it's, Brady, if it's wide open. And if it's not wide open, you just fall down. You know, that's it. You wasted a couple seconds. And at that point, you know, it would be something like, you know, third and 14. You just take a knee. You know, you put two hands. I don't even know why you run the play. You don't need to. You can literally just step back, you know, count to three Mississippi, take a knee. That would waste the same amount of time as handing off to a running back. I mean, it was idiotically stupid. And that might be an oxymoron, but, I mean, it was so absurdly dumb, Brady. It's hard to wrap your arms around how stupid that was. And they got away with it. They were extremely lucky. Extremely lucky. And, you know, hats off to the defense. Because Washington, I think, had the ball in scoring distance like nine times, something like that, yesterday, and they only scored 10 points. So the bend but don't break defense. So hats off to the defense for doing what they did. But, boy, that was a nightmare. An absolute nightmare at the end of that game.
No, no question. Justin Simmons showed up. It was nice to see that. Another situation, though, where pretty much this game is like a one-score game, and you're winning for most part of it. And yet, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon get, 20 carries between the two of them. And I get it. It wasn't really working, but when the defense, it feels like the defense knows what's going to happen with Teddy. They're going to sack him. They're going to go after him. So we say it time and time again, and Shurmur just doesn't want to give these guys much more than 10 carries apiece.
Yeah, well, listen, what do you want me to say here? It's been kind of a mess the whole year. And, you know, with Washington, they had the worst third down defense, the worst scoring defense, the worst passing defense. You know, you got to kind of take what they give you. And sure enough, look what they did. They gave up all sorts of third downs. I think the Broncos were 7 of 13 on third down, and they're converting like third and 18 to Jerry Jeudy. I mean, Washington is pathetic.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was a weird game, just top to bottom. But the Broncos get the W, and I thought that might signal, okay, we're going to try to give the whole season a shot. But today indicated not, that they're in more of a rebuild mode. And, man, what a deal, trading Von Miller.
Yeah, it's a crazy deal. Like you said, take some time to think about it, talk about it, whatever. Vaughn's one of the greats. He's part of that story for Broncos country, all of the NFL, really. I mean, he's had a really fun story leading up to that Super Bowl, and I know after the contract, things didn't quite work out for him. But, all right, D-Max, so it's official in your mind. The Von Miller is not a one-off deal. This is rebuild mode. That's what the Broncos are signaling in your mind officially, because I'm looking down at the schedule. And I mean, what, maybe Philly, maybe Detroit? I mean, how many wins are there if you are actually trying to win, that is?
Well, you know, I think the two obvious ones would be Philly, but the Philly just,
right.
I mean, they kind of rolled yesterday. Detroit's obviously terrible. Hey, man, who knows? You know, quarterbacks get injured. Look at the struggles that Dallas had, even though they came up with a win. And who knows how Dak Prescott's really feeling. So on paper, there's probably two more wins left, but, you know, you just never know. You never know. You never know who's going to get hurt and what's going to happen. Do you really believe in the Raiders? I don't, but they're in first place right now, so we'll see. I don't know, man. I think if the Broncos got to seven wins, it would be pretty amazing, all things considered. And right now, with the deal that they made today, I don't know if they want to get to seven wins. I think right now, five, maybe six wins. Top 12 pick probably would be okay.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing goes down. D-Mac, I know you guys will have plenty to say about this situation. Vaughn, the Broncos going forward, all that. It's a weird Monday. It should be a victory Monday, but it feels like a lot of losses, really. The way the game ended, Von Miller. But if you can step back and look at the big picture, you know, this was a move for the future, which, you know, Elway didn't seem like he was in mindset too often. George Payton maybe saying, hey, you know what? It is what it is. It's time to rebuild. Maybe that's a breath of fresh air for some fans.
Yeah, Brady, I think it is. I think that's how true Broncos fans should look at it. You cannot make big moves unless you have capital. I mean, everybody was screaming, oh, let's get Aaron Rodgers. Well, I mean, okay. But in order to get Aaron Rodgers, you got to have capital. You've got to have pieces to be able to deal and trade. So, If you want to move up in the draft and draft a quarterback in the first round, you need capital. Brady, this is what successful teams do. This is what the Bills did to get Josh Allen, the Chiefs did to get Patrick Mahomes, to move up from the 20s in a draft position up higher. Now, I don't know who's really in love with Carson Strong or Matt Corral or Malik Willis, but, or Sam Howell. That's kind of the crew that's coming out. But, Brady, you can't choose when you suck. And so that's why when you have the opportunity, that's why, you passed on Justin Fields, you passed on Mac Jones. In 2018, you passed on Josh Allen. I mean, let's learn from those mistakes, right? And if you're going to do the right thing here, make sure you do the right thing on the other side.
Yeah, no question about it. D-Mac, we really appreciate you, man, as always. As far as legends, one of the legends in covering the Broncos for so many years, man, we appreciate you. And, hey, let's catch up again. So we'll talk some Bears a little bit, man. UNC football, right?
You got it. Go Bears.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. That's D-Mac.
Thanks, Freddie.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you, dude. You guys know the station he's on. He's a legend. He's a friend of mine. I don't know if we're good friends yet, but we're working on it. No, he's a good dude, and appreciate him giving us some time. 21 minutes after the hour. Von Miller has traded away to the Rams. Do you think the Rams and the Broncos had discussed this last week when Kenny Young was traded to Denver? Maybe that was on the docket. We'll get to it. We got the Dylan McCaffrey Show coming up. The Bears fall just short, but got close. And the Scott Patchen Show coming up. We'll talk about the tough weekend that was for the Colorado State Rams. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. This one's from Breckenridge Brewing. Maybe pour one out for Von Miller as we look at his career. I'll have a deep thoughts from a wandering mind about all things Von Miller. But Breckenridge Brewing brings us the Vanilla Porter. Pick up selections from Breckenridge Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. Free Friday wine and beer tastings. This one is going to be the folks from Estate Brands. They'll be on hand 4 to 6 on Friday to share tastings of their delicious wines and other beverages. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. We changed it up. It was, who do you think's more likely to be back next year? Steve Addazio, Carl Durrell, or Vic Fangio? And with Von Miller news, you had to go this route. Where does Von Miller rank among all-time Bronco greats? Is he the second best in franchise history? Now, D-Mac did something interesting. He went John Elway, then Peyton Manning. Is Peyton Manning a greater Bronco than Terrell Davis and Shannon Sharpe? That's a tough one for me. I don't know. So anyway, the Hooligans have that. Is he top 10? Is he a Ring of Famer? Is he top 5? Is he the second best in franchise history? 58% of the Hooligans, the majority here, they're just saying top 10. Ring of Famer, obviously you're top. If you're top 20? How many Ring of Famers are there? 20? So if you're a Ring of Famer, okay, that's good, but you're not in the upper echelon. You're not in the top 10. So yes, Michael. Michael filling in for Angel today.
How many people would say he's top 5 if he hadn't just been traded away?
I don't know that it's like that with Broncos fans about Von Miller. I think there's a lot of gratitude with him.
I think there's a lot of gratitude as well.
But
I just wonder how many people are like, suddenly, we're done with him.
No, I don't know. Maybe. But I do think there's a lot of people that just said, hey, he was good up to his Super Bowl. And then after that, Von was...
The contract curse.
Was he a game changer? And no, he wasn't, but he was still a very good player, maybe great player. And I was holding on for that hope that he would finally get a team around him that would help elevate his level of play. 29 minutes after the hour. We got more Broncos talk coming up to wrap up this hour, but we will shift gears. We're going to talk to Dylan McCaffrey. The Bears come close against Sac State, which was a shock. I'll be real honest. Bears got two games left. Last home game of the season's coming up this weekend against Montana. We'll talk to Dylan about that next, thanks to First Advantage. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. This is the time where we talk to the quarterback for the UNC Bears, Dylan McCaffrey. This chat every single Monday presented by First Advantage. And we'll have a chance for lucky listeners to win a Windsor Mill gift, Windsor Mill Tavern gift card coming up a little bit later on in the program as well. Also hoping to make this segment possible, if I could spit that out, every single week. Joining us now, Dylan McCaffrey. The Bears lost to Sac State 27-24. I tell you, man, that this was a tight game at the end. Sac State goes up 10-0, but you guys fought right back, and you were in this thing the rest of the way. Dylan, my friend, how are you on this Monday?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know what? We're hanging in there. I'm looking outside. It's we got snow off and on today, so yeah. We get through Halloween, and we just transitioned from Halloween mode to winter mode. I love it.
No doubt, me too, man. I brought a smile on my face seeing snow coming down this morning.
So. Do you like playing in the snow? Is that fun for you?
I don't mind it, yeah. I mean, growing up here in Colorado, you kind of got to get used to it. And definitely snow's a lot better than, I mean, the rain or the wind. So I enjoy it, you know. I actually don't mind it at all.
Yeah, maybe once you get out there, it just doesn't seem as cold either. Once you get going, you get that adrenaline pumping and warm-ups and all that. But, Dylan, take us through this game. So Sac State's up 10-0, and I think at that point Bears fans are going, okay, this is one of those really good teams that we talked about, this just mill of teams that you guys have ran through in the Big Sky, great football teams. Sac State, one of them. You guys stopped the bleeding. You go down 17-7 at the half. You end up outscoring the Hornets in the second half. Talk to us about that halftime chat, because I tell you what, Dylan, there's moments in a new coaching staff where you go, maybe that was the game. That half was the turning point for this team going forward for the next couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good half, and that's like you mentioned, a really good football team, and I'm so proud of the way the team did fight back, and that is something you look towards and see, hey, we can fight. And I think it was very reassuring for everyone on the team seeing a really good football team like that and, you know, at halftime making some adjustments and really saying, hey, we can hang with this team. And that's – I think they're two in the Big Sky right now, and those are the teams that we've talked about before that we want to beat and we want to compete with. And I think, you know, it's good just to show a lot of these guys that we can, because we really felt like we could have won that game and we should have. So it's nice kind of getting that in the mind, you know, and we still got to find a way to win, which is the next part of that process. But like you said, it's a process and it doesn't happen overnight, but it was definitely some reassuring things there. A lot we need to work on. It's obviously we came out with a loss, so it's not all positive, but there are a lot of positives to take from that.
Yeah, I think there really are. And again, it's just a different time when you look at you and I've discussed this at length this season, but this is a recharging of this program, and that doesn't happen overnight. You see, it's going to take a couple of games. It's going to take a halftime where you stand up and say, you know what, we can play against a team like that. And then you carry it over to the next week, and then the final week, and then to the off-season activities and on to the next season. So I always look at these kind of moments and think, man, that was the pinpoint. That was it right there when things started to click against a really good football team. That's when this Bears team kind of figured it out.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely and it's something that you see those little clicks, and I've mentioned this before, football is all about consistency. And that's going to be a big emphasis moving forward. It's just, hey, now that we see we can do that and we have the ability to compete, it's consistently doing that. And that starts today. I mean, reviewing the game and film, and then it starts once we, you know, move on and start practices up. It starts every single play and every single day, really. And it's just about stacking those days together, which is going to relate to that long-term success.
Dylan, you guys were having some success in the middle of the field. What was it that you really liked about this defense when you were looking at Sac State, as opposed to what you guys have been seeing the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think we had a little bit of it. We figured some of our offense out a little more, and that spot was one of the big areas where we struggled, you know, the middle of the field. We were great at moving the ball and really changing the field, but we kind of would lack out in that middle, and I think we had a good plan coming into this week about, hey, we gotta produce some offense in that area, and I think we had a couple different calls in there, you know, that we wanted to get to, and we did, and I think those played well for us. And I think that's something we're going to continue and really kind of just figuring out exactly who we're going to be as an offense. I think that helped a lot.
Now coming up, you guys go up against Montana. And you tell me, Dylan, I mean, you played at the highest of levels when you're looking at college football, and you've done so many different things in your football career. That momentum, you had the momentum in the second half. Like we said, you outscored Sac State in that second half. Is that momentum a real thing? I mean, I guess we're going to find out this weekend, but you felt that, right? You've picked that up. Even in a loss, you can have that momentum, even in a loss, carry you over to the next week.
Yeah, no doubt. College football is really, it's all about momentum, and I think that's what attracts so many fans to it, especially. I mean, you look at teams, and especially our team, it's young men playing, man, and different than the NFL in the sense where, I mean, young men are driven by emotion. And I think keeping that positivity, that momentum that you said is huge, and something we're really looking towards. And again, stacking good days on top of each other helps carry that, you know. You help foster that momentum and really put a flame to it. And that's when special things happen for programs.
Now you got two games left. You said it. You know, even in the game, the guys, you could see that confidence building. What was the locker room like at the end of that game? Was it more of a, hey, you know what? We got two games on the schedule. Let's go take that, make something of this, and do something this Bears program hasn't done in a while. And that's even just win four or five games, and that would be a great starting point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the end of the game, it was for sure bittersweet because, I mean, we wanted to win that so badly, and our whole team does. We want to win every single game, and that's that's a great characteristic to have. But I also think we did do enough to really fire us up for these next 2 weeks, you know, because we saw we compete, and now it's about, you know, a game like that when, you know, playoffs kind of are a tough situation now. It can help a lot to have a little bit of that momentum and say, okay, you know what, and I think the team's in a great spot with when it comes to finishing out this season and really wanting to get two wins. You know, leave with two wins, and that would be something great to carry into the offseason and really propel us looking into this next year.
You get the final home game coming up this weekend, yep. Going against Montana, and then a break in between, and then you wrap it all up against Weber State. But looking at Montana, you know, they're a 6-2 team overall, but 3-2 in the conference. So, what have you seen so far about this team, Dylan? I know breaking into it throughout the course of the week, but so far, what sticks out to you?
Yeah, this team obviously historically is a great program, great coaching they got on both sides of the ball. Their defense is very sound, and that's something that, I mean, you know what you're going to get, which is nice on our end. But they don't make many mistakes at all, and I think that's something we're going to have to combat and really just kind of make plays when we can, but not try to force anything. And it's, you know, they're a solid program, guys that work hard and really want to win, and I mean, so are we. So it should be a fun one, man. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and they've had some big games. I mean, early in the season, you know, beating Washington, which is a great thing for the conference, really, when you have those, right, and those representatives of your conference. And then here's your opportunity to go at a team that took care of a pretty darn good team in the Pac-12.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's those FCS versus FBS matchups. I mean, I always end up rooting for the guys we're going to compete against, you know, because that'd be a great look for us, man. They win those games, and then we get to come play them, and it really shows that, hey, this is good football all around in the conference. It's really a great thing for our conference, our level, and, I mean, us as a program and them as a program. So it's fun, man. I like to see those teams get after the big-time programs like that.
Yeah, and a good opportunity for this Bears team this weekend going up against Montana. That game is at noon. We'll have coverage starting at 11 o'clock with the PDC Energy pregame show. Dylan McCaffrey joining us. Dylan, did you get a chance? Did you do much yesterday? It was cold for Halloween. Did you get a chance to watch a scary movie or anything?
Yeah, I watched some scary movies. It was a little bit of a low-key one. I mean, Halloween falling on a Sunday kind of. Not much you can do, but I enjoyed it for sure. It was nice fall day, so I enjoyed it definitely.
Yeah, it was kind of strange, right? Having it on a Sunday felt strange for sure. Dylan, my friend, it's been awesome to have these with you each and every week, and finish out this season strong. A couple of games left, and we're looking forward to seeing what you guys do against Montana, and then to wrap this whole thing up against Weber State, man. So just the best of luck to you.
No doubt. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, man. That's Dylan McCaffrey, the quarterback for the University of Northern Colorado. And you know what? If you're looking at this Bears team, you're seeing some pretty good signs these last 2 weeks. didn't beat Sac State, but they were right there. And Sac State's number two. They are 6-2 overall, 5-0 in the conference, behind that Montana State team that, you know, took it to UNC. But really, after you beat Northern Arizona, you have been through the sawmill. Montana State, number one. Eastern Washington, there for a while, looked like they'd never lose. They're 7-1, though. They're 4-1 in the conference. And then you took on UC Davis, you know, another 7-1 team, 4-1 in the conference. Then you beat Southern Utah. And, that was a big one. Southern Utah, they're not a good team in the conference, but you got to get a win on the road, and you needed one. Then you go up against Sac State, who was 5-2, 4-0 in the conference. You're thinking, here's another great team. You almost won. And I know moral victories, I hate the moral victory thing sometimes because you got to look at the situation. This is Ed McCaffrey's first year with the Bears. This is Ed McCaffrey's first year as a college football coach. This is why hiring a guy like Ed makes so much sense for UNC. CSU, Broncos, all of you guys should take notes. Hire a guy that's getting into his career, that's starting out his career, because then you can grow together. When you hire a guy like Steve Adazio, you know what you do? You put the pressure on yourself instantly. Not the pressure to go win Mountain West championships, but to go out and win big, and this is neither here or there about Adazio in this segment. But that's what you say when you're a struggling program and then you just go out and you get another guy that's been a, you know, kind of a 500-type coach. You're instantly saying, hey, the pressure's on to win now because you've done it before, you've got experience. With UNC, they hired Ed McCaffrey knowing it's going to be a popular move. This is going to be a fun move for us. We're not expecting. Maybe they were expecting it, but we, you know, come on, be realistic. We weren't expecting this team to go to the playoffs. And be there, have their third winning season since becoming a D1 FCS school. I wasn't expecting that. I was like, 3 or 4 wins. That would be good for me. I would be happy with 3 or 4 wins. And they got 3. They got, if they can find a way to split here, you got 4 wins. And you're going up against Weber State. So I gotta think if you're a Bears fan. That's why I didn't throw Ed McCaffrey on the poll today when we did the coaching poll. Carl Durrell's under pressure. Why? Because his offense is historically bad and because he had a great year last year. You had a lot of interesting situations for Carl Durrell. And now look at Mel Tucker. Doesn't that make Buffs fans just sick to their stomach? Michigan State beating Michigan twice in a row or twice in two seasons, and Mel Tucker's team is like maybe a playoff team. I mean, we seriously had a poll question last year that was, are the Buffs better off now with Carl Durrell than they would have been with Mel Tucker? That was right after Carl Durrell won the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. But we knew what it was. They played the first half. They didn't play the tough part of the Pac-12 because of COVID and all that. They didn't have as many games. So Carl Durrell's in the pressure cooker. He is. He won't be fired. Steve Adazio won't be fired. It's Vic Fangio, by the way. The answer to the first poll question we did, it's Vic Fangio. He's not coming back, folks. So you might as well get used to that. I mean, it's going to take a historic run for the Broncos to be able to get into the playoffs. Maybe not historic, but look at the schedule. It's pretty tough. Dallas, are they beatable without Dak Prescott? Okay, but their defense is still pretty good. That doesn't take away the other things that they've been doing right. So football in the area. Tough. We'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly when we come back. 12:48 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Our new Power to Play sports poll question is, where does Von Miller rank among all-time Bronco greats? Top 10, Ring of Famer, top 5, second best in franchise history. Noob saying Gary Patterson, next CSU coach, would be interesting. I've heard that name a few times. I've heard Byron Leftwich for the Broncos. Oh, wait, I've heard it from myself. I like it. We'll be right back.
Southern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Join us in the second hour. We're going to talk to a great friend of the show. Well, his show, Scott Patchen, the Scott Patchen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Let's get after it while we can. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good for me, it was an interesting weekend in football. So I'm going to go with a back-to-back win for the Denver Nuggets, and Joker is okay, thank goodness. The Joker is fine, but the Nuggets found a way to do it, and we got to see Bones Highland on that Saturday night game. That was fantastic.
Nuggets down by one. Need a bucket. Bones, long range. Yes!
I mean, the fans are in love with this guy, and Malone finally gets him out there. He was in the Dallas game, too, but by then the game was out of reach. So it was awesome to see Bones getting the job done. The bad, man, this was a tough one. The Rams up 13-0, but in the end just couldn't hang on, and Boise State found a way to get the W. We don't have a clip. No clip. No clip. Okay, we're too busy making jokes back there. The ugly is the Broncos, and the Broncos won, and that's my ugly. It's got to be the first time in the history of the whole show is the ugly is a win. The Broncos finished how that thing went down, a fumble, although it wasn't really a fumble, an incomplete pass, and then another fumble. They still found a way, but somehow the Broncos almost lost to the Washington football team late.
And Gordon is in there. Oh, Gordon lost it! Oh, my goodness. Washington says they have it.
Are you kidding me?
They do!
Boy, that was rough. You know, fumbles happen. It's the choice to throw the pass on second down. And I get it. If you're Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson or Tom Brady and your offense is just, like, historically moving the ball, then okay, chance it. See if you can get a first down in the game. But the Broncos' offense has not been there. So they got the win. But, of course, as we know, movement is happening for the Broncos. And that's the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The Broncos trade away Von Miller. They get a second and a third round pick. I want to get your thoughts on this, our Power to Play sports poll question. I know Scott's not a diehard Broncos fan, but he's a pass rusher. He knows a thing or two about Von Miller. I'm going to see if he'll answer this question for us in the second hour. Where does Von Miller rank among all-time Bronco greats? Top 10, top 5, second best in franchise history? Or is he just kind of a ring of famer? He's great, but he's not one of the greatest. Second hour, Scott Patchen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, coming up next.